Early in John's Gospel, Jesus attends a religious celebration, a festival in Jerusalem called the Feast of Booths. This festival recalled how the Israelites learned to trust God while they were wandering in the wilderness after being set free from slavery in Egypt. Hungry and thirsty in this wilderness, they learned to trust God every morning for the manna, that mysterious food that they would find on the ground. And they learned to trust God for water after Moses would strike a rock and water would gush forth. It was here at this celebration that Jesus stood up and announced, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me." Throughout Scripture, Jesus is saying amazing and mysterious things like this, saying that he is like God, providing water in the wilderness. He offers living water to a woman he meets at a well. And in this and other words and actions, he subtly, and not so subtly, claims divinity without coming out and saying it directly. Some scholars suggest that the title Son of God was not so lofty and usual at this time. Emperors and madmen called themselves sons of God. So in many ways, Jesus let others claim his divinity for him. Peter does this. The Roman centurion there at the base of the cross looks up at Jesus and proclaims, "Truly this man was the Son of God." But as we get to this word today, the fifth word from the cross, "I thirst," our attention is drawn not to the divinity so much, but to the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now many of us, maybe most of us, have been with a loved one or a friend as they're dying. And we've seen that while the person is still conscious, she or he becomes very thirsty. You can see that their mouth is dry and a nurse or hospice worker comes in, perhaps a loved one takes care of it, brings a cup of ice chips in and a little spoon and puts a little chip or two on their tongue to soothe the parched feeling. Sometimes a cup of water and a straw are used. Or sometimes a nurse or hospice worker will bring in a little stick that has a sponge on the end of it. That sponge will be soaked in water and then placed on the tongue of the dying person so that their thirst can be relieved. This is an act, a tender act of compassion. In ancient times, something similar was done for people who were dying on a cross. The stick was longer to reach from the ground to the person's mouth, but the purpose was the same, to satisfy the thirst of the person who is suffering there. John includes these words, "I thirst," to remind us that Jesus was a human being with flesh and blood, even while he was God. Before he died, he thirsted like we get thirsty, and he died like we die. You might be thinking, what's the big deal about that? But this was very important for John to point out, because at the time that he was writing his gospel, late in the first century, there was beginning to be some Greek religious thinking who said that Jesus was just a spirit who only appeared to be flesh and blood, a human. Because such a spirit, they thought, could not die or feel pain, he only seemed or appeared to die on the cross. Those that believed this became known as Docetists, from the Greek word dokeo, which means to seem. Later on, another group called the Gnostics would proclaim the same kind of ideas. Jesus could not have been flesh and blood. Sure, he was God as a spirit, but no form of God would ever go through what Jesus went through. Some went as far to say that the person who died on the cross wasn't even Jesus. That Simon of Cyrene, who had helped carry Jesus' cross on the Via Dolorosa for a while, had ended up taking his place on the cross. There's no evidence of that at all. But their logic took them this direction. The underlying belief was that the Son of God could never be defeated by evil, and that he would never suffer the indignity or die on a cross. So John wrote his Gospels and his letters to help counteract this false teaching that was emerging. And the other Gospels were written at a time when these Greek ideas and speculations were being tossed around to make sense of the mystery of the cross, the humanity and the divinity together of Jesus. But by including this fifth word, "I thirst," John, in effect, is saying this: I stood by the cross. I saw him suffer. I heard him cry out, "I thirst." He did not only seem to be suffering and dying. He was a man dying there on the cross. And look how the first letter of John begins, engaging all the senses to proclaim the reality that Jesus really was here in flesh and blood. He wrote, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at, what we have touched with our hands concerning this word of life. This life was revealed and we have seen it and testify to it." In other words, I know what I'm talking about because my senses fully comprehended and experienced Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of God and as a human being. In our day, the argument kind of reverses, though. Most people are willing to say that Jesus was a man, a good man even, a wonderful teacher, a person who helped others and loved all people. He was a man, but was he God? In the first century, though, the debate was more like this. Surely he was a son of God. He was divine. There's no doubt about that. He was sent from heaven. He was divine. But was he human? And John claims to be an eyewitness reporting what he saw and heard. Jesus' words, "I thirst," are another example of Jesus' humanity. They clearly intend to demonstrate that Jesus actually died on the cross. He didn't avoid or hide from or try to escape this fate, this death. Another related detail, as John reports, is that the sponge that was used to refresh Jesus was attached to a branch of hyssop and held up to Jesus. Now that's important. Hyssop is a small bushy plant, and attaching a sponge to it would not be very easy. Why does John want us to know that it was a hyssop plant? Hyssop played a role in the Exodus story, where Moses led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt in slavery. The Israelite families were instructed to sacrifice a lamb and to take the blood of this lamb and using a branch of hyssop to sprinkle the blood over the doorstep so that home would be passed over and saved from the death of the final plague of Pharaoh in Egypt. Now, John referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God, and the hyssop reference is one more clue that Jesus was the sacrifice that would save people from their sin. In mentioning the hyssop branch, John is not giving us needless information, but is pointing out to us the meaning of Jesus' death. A final thought on this. As people stood around Jesus while he was on the cross, someone heard him say, "I thirst." And that person had the courage to step forward, attach a sponge to a hyssop branch, and soak it in some wine, and lift it up compassionately to Jesus' lips. Who was it that did this? We don't know. Was it John? Was it Jesus' mother? Was it Nicodemus or Joseph or another priest? Was it a Roman guard? Someone had the courage to risk abuse and ridicule to comfort Jesus as he was dying. Now today we can still offer him a comforting, refreshing drink. Jesus taught that whenever we help someone who is spiritually or physically thirsty, we are doing it for Jesus himself. Whatever you do for the least of these, my sisters and brothers, you do for me. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, be for us the source of living water. May our hearts thirst for you more than anything else. And as we follow you, may we offer the water that we have, physical and spiritual, to all who are thirsty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.